Saving brake racks without third-party plugins. Beginner Ableton Live workflow for drum and bass. Alright, let's build you a couple of brake tools you can reuse forever. The goal today is simple. You're going to take one breakbeat, slice it into a drum rack, give it a clean, stock-only processing chain, add a parallel smash you can blend in, and then save it properly, so it loads fast and never hits you with missing files later. Breaks are everything in drum and bass and jungle. The swing, the ghost notes, that crunchy air on top. And the big workflow win is this. Instead of rebuilding your chain every session, you make one or two daily driver racks that already sound like you, and you save them like a pro. By the end, you'll have two things. First, a rolling Amen-style break drum rack with macros like punch, crunch, tone, HP filter, and a parallel smash control. Second, a simple resample chain mindset so you can print your processed break to audio and rechop it, which is one of the most classic jungle moves ever. Let's go step by step. Step 0. Set up the project so it's DNB friendly. Set your tempo somewhere around 170 to 175 BPM. Turn on the metronome for now. Create two tracks, an audio track named Break Source and a MIDI track named Break Rack. And here's the reason we do it this way. The audio track is your safe, untouched original. The MIDI track is where the slicing and madness happens. That separation keeps you from painting yourself into a corner. Step 1. Choose and prepare a break. Drag a breakbeat onto break source. Amen, think, funky drummer, anything works. Click the clip so you're in clip view. Turn warp on. Set warp mode to beats. For preserve, start at 1/16. That's usually a solid default for breaks, because it respects the transients and keeps the groove tight. If it's not locking to the grid, adjust the clip's tempo so it lines up. Take a second to make sure bar 1 really is bar 1. This pays off later when you start chopping. Now consolidate it. Command or Control J. Consolidate to a clean loop length, usually one bar or two bars. Teacher note. Two bars often feel more rolling because the break's natural variation has room to breathe. One bar can feel a bit like it's looping in place. Step 2. Slice to drum rack, the clean way. Right-click your consolidated audio clip and choose Slice to new MIDI track. In the dialog, choose a built-in slicing preset, like built-in or default. Don't overthink this part. For slice by, you've got two beginner-friendly choices. If you want classic jungle chaos and natural phrasing, use transient. If you want more controlled roll programming, choose 1/16 note. Click OK. Ableton will create a new MIDI track with a drum rack, plus a MIDI clip that triggers the slices in the original order. Rename this track something like Amen Rack, Bass. Naming matters because you're going to start versioning these. Step 3. Make the drum rack playable and organized. Open the drum rack and show the chain list. Then hunt for your main kick slice, your main snare slice, and your hat or ride bits. Rename pads so you can see what's what. Kick, snare, hat or glue, that kind of thing. Now the big workflow upgrade. Standardize your pad layout across all your future break racks. Move the main kick to C1. Move the main snare to D1. If you want, put hats around F-sharp 1 or G-sharp 1. You do this by dragging the chain from one pad to another. This is a one-time investment that makes you dramatically faster later. Your fingers will learn where the kick lives in every rack you make. Quick extra tip while we're here, if certain slices behave more like one-shots and you're not trying to stretch them, open simpler on that pad and consider turning warp off for that slice. Sometimes that makes the transient hit cleaner. Step 4. Add a stock-only processing chain for the whole break. We're going to process in two places, lightly on the whole break, and then we'll do little fixes on kick and snare pads if needed. Click the MIDI track, and after the drum rack device, add EQ 8 first. Put a high-pass filter around 30 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. That's mostly rumble removal. If the break feels boxy, do a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. If it's dull, add a gentle high lift around 4 to 8 kHz. Keep it subtle. We're not mastering, we're shaping. Next, add glue compressor. Set attack to around 3 milliseconds, release to auto, ratio 2 to 1. Lower the threshold until you're seeing about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on average. And turn on soft clip. That's a very DNB-friendly safety net that helps keep the break feeling held together when you push it. Next, add saturator. Use analog clip mode. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Now really important. Match the output level so that when you bypass the saturator, the volume doesn't jump. Loudness tricks your ears. And we want real decisions, not louder is better decisions. Optional but very on brand. A drum bus after that. Drive maybe 5 to 15%, crunch 0 to 20%, and usually keep boom at 0 for brake processing so you don't muddy the low end. Bring up transients somewhere around plus 5 to plus 20 if you want more snap. The goal of this chain is punchy, controlled brakes that still leave space for a heavy sub. Step 5. Pad level control. Fix the slice, not the whole brake. Now open the kick pad chain. Add EQ8, high pass around 30 HC, and if you need a touch more body or less body, use a small shelf around 80 to 120 HC. Tiny moves. Add a saturator with 1 to 3 dB drive, just to give it a bit of density. Now open the snare pad chain. Add EQ8. If it's thin, a small boost around 180 to 250 HC can give body. For crack, a gentle boost around 2 to 5 kHz. Again, small. Add drum bus on the snare chain if you want. Transients around plus 10. Crunch 5 to 15%. Here's the habit you're building. Don't destroy the groove by overcompressing the whole break, when the real issue is one weak snare slice or one overly loud crash slice. And speaking of overly loud slices, quick gain staging tip. Inside the drum rack, turn down any slices that randomly spike. Often it's a snare flam or a crash. If you don't, your compressor will react to those peaks and your groove will pump in a weird way. Get the pads roughly even first, then your track fader becomes your musical level. Step 6. Turn your processing chain into something you can perform with macros. Select the devices after the drum rack, like EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and drum bus, and group them. Command or Control G. Now you've got an audio effect rack. Click Map, and let's set up a beginner-friendly macro set. Macro 1. Punch. Map it to the glue compressor threshold. You can also map it to drum bus transients if you want punch to feel more like snap plus control. Macro 2. Crunch. Map that to saturator drive, and optionally drum bus crunch as well. Macro 3. Tone. Map it to an EQ high shelf gain so you can brighten or darken quickly. Macro 4. HP filter. Map it to the EQ8 high pass frequency. Make the range safe, like 30 HC up to 120 or 150 HE. You want it to be musical, not why did my brake disappear at 1 kHz. You can add more later, like air, room, and output. For output, drop a utility at the end and map its gain to a macro so you can level match easily. Step 7. Add parallel smash inside the rack. Proper DNB weight without killing the groove. Inside your audio effect rack, show the chain list. Create two chains, clean and smash. On the smash chain, add glue compressor. Set ratio to 10 to 1. Attack around 0.3 milliseconds. Release around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, or auto if you prefer. Pull the threshold down until it's doing heavy gain reduction, like 10 dB. Yes, it's intense. That's why it's parallel. Then add saturator on the smash chain. Drive 6 to 12 dB. Aggressive. Then add EQ8. High pass the smash chain around 120 to 200 HC so the smashed low end doesn't fight your sub and doesn't wreck the clean groove. If it's harsh, do a small shelf cut on the highs. Now pull the smash chain volume all the way down to silent to start. Map a macro called smash to the smash chain volume, or put a utility on the smash chain and map that gain instead. Now you can blend in brutality while keeping your clean groove intact. This is one of those sounds expensive tricks that's actually just good routing. Extra grit options. Still stock only. You can put redux lightly on the smash chain for an old sampler vibe, but keep it controlled and follow it with EQ to tame any nasty 6 to 10 kHz spitting. Or add erosion very subtly on the smash chain, noise mode around 6 to 12 kHz, tiny amounts. If you can clearly hear erosion, it's probably too much. Step 8. Save it correctly so it's reliable. This is the workflow moment most people mess up. First, rename the drum rack something clear, like Amen 2 bar, rolling rack. Now save the preset. Click the disk icon on the rack, or drag it into your user library under something like drum racks, breaks. Here's the catch. Drum racks reference samples. If those samples move, you'll get missing files. So, to make this session proof, do File, Collect All and Save. Save the live set into a project folder dedicated to building racks, something like DNB Break Rack Builder Project. Make sure samples are collected. That way, if you open this project later, everything is bundled. If you want the rack to be portable across all projects without collecting every time, use a dedicated break sample folder inside your user library. For example, user library, samples, breaks. Always slice breaks from there. Then your racks always point to a stable location live can find. Also, save versions like a developer, not like an artist. Have a stable version you trust, like Amen Rolling Rack V1 Stable. Then if you experiment, save V1A more crunch or V1B darker tops. That way you never lose your dependable rack to a random late night tweak. Extra coach move, create a template MIDI clip. After slicing, make a blank 2-bar MIDI clip with your default starter groove, even something basic like hats on 16THS and snares on 2 and 4. Then save that MIDI clip into your user library under something like MIDI clips, break starters. Later, when you load the rack, you can instantly audition it with your own go-to rhythm, instead of hunting for the original sliced clip. Step 9. Resample workflow, the classic jungle move. Create a new audio track named Break Resampled. Set its input to resampling. Arm it, and record 4 to 8 bars while you play with your macros. Bring in smash for intensity, raise the HP filter slightly into a fill, add a touch of crunch in the second half. Think of it like performance gestures. Then consolidate the recorded audio. If you're stretching it, try Complex Pro. If you want it tight and punchy, Beats Mode often wins for breaks. Now you can slice your resampled audio again, reverse a couple hits, make a fill every 8 or 16 bars, and suddenly your loop feels arranged, not just repeated. A simple arrangement idea: print a main loop and a fill loop, then alternate every 8 bars. That tiny change creates momentum fast. Common mistakes to avoid as you do all this. If you don't collect samples or store them in a stable user library folder, your saved rack might load with missing media later. If you overcompress the whole break, you'll kill the groove and the hats will get harsh. That's why we use parallel smash. If you keep too much low end in the break, it will fight your sub. High pass the break somewhere around 30 to 60 Hz, sometimes higher depending on the break. And if warp is set wrong, you'll smear transients. For breaks, Beats Mode is usually the right starting point. Quick pro style upgrades, just to plant seeds for later. If the break feels too wide or too narrow, put utility after the rack and adjust width around 80 to 120%. It's a fast mix-fit tool. If slicing creates clicks, go into the offending pads and adjust simpler start points slightly, or add a tiny attack in the amp envelope. This audio version is shortened for playback.